Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome to Sports Day. Great to have you company. Very busy show tonight. Brad Scott is going to join us after the first break. We're going to go through a fair few things with him, so we're going to need some time, so we'll get to an early break. 133-882, if you would like to join us tonight. Josh Carr will also join us a little bit later on this hour. Kevy Walters after 7 o'clock tonight. Stacey Francis-Bayman, who has been included in the English Roses ahead of the Commonwealth Games, but our West Coast Fever, she's one of our guns there. Looking forward to having a yak to her a little bit later on. But 133-882, please join in. Pick up the phone. You can be the first tonight as we get straight into the news headlines for Polaris. Polaris, Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand, as I welcome in my co-host, Mark Redding. Skeet, where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the biggest story in footy today, and that was Leon Cameron at the Giants stepping down, or even pushed to some degree by the club, obviously not offering him a new contract moving forward. The club, 2 wins, 6 losses through 8 rounds, and he read the writing on the wall and decided, no, I'm going to leave after Sunday's game against Carlton. Look, he's done a pretty good job in an expansion team, I have to say. No premiership to show for it, of course, but they made a grand final in 2019. They made preliminary finals. And how's this for a stat? Between 2016 and 2021, final series in that period of time, the West Coast Eagles made the finals 5 times. The Giants, 5 times. Only one other side has appeared more times in the finals during that period. Geelong, 6 times. So he got them thereabouts, but unfortunately not the Holy Grail. So Leon Cameron, despite a very good record, not an excellent record, which means the talent at his disposal, some say, should have yielded at least one flag.
Well, you know my opinion here. You know who I tipped at the start of the season to be in the top four, and you know who is far away from being a top four side right now, and that is the Greater Western Sydney Giants. So, look, I feel for Leon Cameron. He's a good bloke, and, you know, I've had the pleasure of rubbing shoulders with him a few times throughout our football lives, and, you know, I feel sorry for him on this day. But look, he's not the first, and he's not going to be the last coach to get sacked. And in fact, he won't be the last coach, I don't think, to get the marching orders this particular season. I reckon there'll be a couple more, Skeet, as we move on through the year. But it now asks the question as to who is the person that gets the job. And I'd be interested in what our audience thinks on who they think should get the job. Is it James Hurd and Alistair Clarkson and Ross Lyon, who are the recycled coaches? Don Pike probably fits into that group. But I think that of that group, Don Pike's probably as well credentialed for me anyway as anybody. I know that Alistair Clarkson will be one that will be pushed right up there. But of the crop coming through, Burns, Carousella, Adam Uze, Adam Kingsley have been always talked about in these sorts of markets. Is it a Jamie Graham who's doing some good things down there at the Freo Dockers after leaving the West Coast Eagles? Lenny Hayes, Eamon Buchanan, does Kane Lambert or Justin Lepich get an opportunity, Skeet?
Well, guess who's taking over after Sunday? Mark McVay.
Who?
McVay.
Yes.
So
there you go.
Sometimes it happens, and I think we go back to, well, there's been numerous cases where assistant coaches have jumped into the role and got the job full time, and that's going back to Paul Roos at the Sydney Swans. Terry Wallace, of course, was due to come and coach the Swans, but Terry Wallace never got there because Paul Roos did such a good job and he was very popular with the players. By the way, tonight on AFL 360 on Fox, Alistair Clarkson, coincidentally, is a special guest co-host, and he has been quoted as saying, there's 8, when asked about whether he'd coach again, there's 18, hopefully soon 19 clubs, given he was part of that Tasmanian push, that I wouldn't hesitate to coach. So Alistair Clarkson, not saying specifically he wants to coach the Giants, but he's just come back from the United States, done some work and some fact-finding missions with the Golden State Warriors in the NBA, and Steph Curry and the great crew there that has won NBA titles recently. He has come away from there and he's delighted to be at least talked about in coaching circles. Now, he hasn't declared he wants to coach immediately. He said he'll wait till the end of 2022. Well, that's what he says, and then he'll make a decision. Mm. But I suspect more likely than not that he'll be coaching somewhere next year.
Yeah, and I'm still of the view that he's going to end up at the Gold Coast. I think that the AFL will parachute him in there, and then he'll do a couple of years there and try to resurrect the ship, and then they'll probably parachute him into Tasmania because he's going to be heading up some of that. Hey, there's been some really big names left out this weekend as we quickly roll into the teams, Skeet, ahead of our first guest coming your way tonight in Brad Scott. Thanks to Polaris, and thank you to you for making Polaris Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand 21 years in a row, are going to be pretty hot when you think about some of the players that have been left out. Tom Mitchell's been rested this week. Horn Francis will miss his first game through injury. And I suppose the biggest, one of the biggest shocks is Riley O'Brien's been axed from Adelaide's team to face Brizzy.
Yeah, that's true. And closer to home, Michael Walters will be missing because of HS protocol. So that's unfortunately going to leave him on the sidelines. And Nathan O'Driscoll also is injured. So the Dockers with Ethan Hughes, Michael Frederick, Rory Lobb, Griffin Logue, Travis Collier and Blake Akers coming back into that side all looks pretty promising on paper. And of course, there was some vision today of Nat Fyfe just increasing his workload at training. So in pretty good shape, the Fremantle Dockers, taking on a Gold Coast side that welcomed back Noah Anderson, Joel Jeffrey, Sam Day, Sam Flanders and Charlie Constable, who will make his debut, not at AFL level, of course, but for the Gold Coast Suns. Jack Lukosius is out for a while for the Suns, and Alex Davies is being managed. But Griffin Logue playing his 50th game on Sunday. The early game of the WA sides, of course, Melbourne coming to WA to take on West Coast on Sunday, 3:20 bounce down at Optus.
The other hot news this morning, thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company's Valley Spring Lamb, was Shawnee Marsh, 38, signed a one-year deal. That was the feel-good story of the morning, I reckon, Skate.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder how close he came to pulling the pin, because when you win a Sheffield Shield...
I pestered him all day.
And he didn't want a bar of it.
Well, no. Well, he was down south and I saw he having pictures with the family, so he's probably trying to have a relaxing time. And the last thing he wanted to do was talk to us.
He wouldn't have done a thing since the Sheffield Shield final. We know Sauce. He's a very relaxed character. I love him, but come on, Sauce. If, put it this way. If you can hear from vanquished American sportsmen when they lose a big title, then how about having a chat to your mates up in Perth? Anyway, Sauce, well done. Will he get to 40 playing first-class cricket? Who knows, probably, but he's been a great servant to the game. And he'll get to have a good rest, get back into it, and obviously hoping for back-to-back Sheffield Shield titles. What a remarkable summer it's been for WA on the cricketing front.
Now, when you left last night, did you actually go home and tune in and watch Paul Gallen and Chris Terzievsky? We spoke to Gal the other night, but they went through the 10 rounds, and I'll tell you what, in the ninth round, looked like Gal was going to roll him over, and then Terzievsky, for some reason, somehow, he just found some life in the last quarter, and just at last round, and just danced around the ring.
Yeah, but that's what, Gallen, I think that's a really good effort. I mean, to go 10 rounds with a bloke of that reputation and that stature. We talked with Gal about the reach advantage that his opponent had on him. So, yeah, that's a reasonable result for Paul Gallen. He's a winner, so that won't sit well with him that he's been beaten. But Garside, Zoo, some big names getting across the line last night. And yes, it was a chance for some of the up-and-coming and really emerging fighters in Australia to stand up and say, look at me, I'm about to go and take my career to another step, possibly overseas.
Lee Kitchen to captain WA against South Australia, good choice?
I think so, yeah. It's back-to-back for Lee, who captained WA against South Australia last year. They were beaten by more than 50 points in Adelaide. His deputies are interesting because they did have quite a few club captains tucked away in the squad, including Matthew Jupp, who is a vice captain, alongside Fraser McGuinness, the captain of Perth, who's also a deputy to Lee Kitchen. So great to see those two guys involved. The players will have a final training session tomorrow, jumper presentation tomorrow night, and then into it on Sunday afternoon. So, yeah, look, there's been some question marks over state footy, where it's at and the legitimacy of it. I think it's 48 wins apiece between South Australia and Western Australia as they fight for the Hayden Bunton Cup. But I can tell you, they're pretty keen to get a victory, WA, after being rolled the last two occasions against South Australia. So, yes, hopefully we can get a victory and keep state footy going, because we know the Vics have pulled out, Carl. They've decided, after being rolled a few years ago by WA, it's too hard. So, yeah, let's try and keep it going. I know you're a fanatical supporter of state of origin footy and state footy. It is fading, but hopefully there's still a bit of light on the candle.
Let's hope so. Now, there's plenty of hot topics wandering around in AFL, and thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company's Valley Spring Lamb, available at WA's best restaurants, hotels and cafes. We'll get into some of those hot topics with the AFL General Manager of Football, Brad Scott, will join us after the break.
Sports Day for Kia, the all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and it's fantastic to have our very first guest tonight. He is the AFL General Manager of Football in his new role. We haven't spoken to him this season. His name is Brad Scott, and he joins us here on Sports Day. Brad, welcome. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very well. Thanks for having me on, Carl. G'day, Mark.
Yeah, it's nice to have you on the show, mate. Now, I've got to start with the COVID effect. How have you felt things have panned out? West Coast have been badly affected. We've seen a number of teams lose players week after week now. What's been the talk around AFL House?
Well, look, it's been a hugely challenging couple of years for everyone, obviously. And, you know, we were really keen to get the 2022 season underway and be clear to all our fans and everyone that we would push ahead and that we would play. And that's why we were so, you know, we did a lot of work in the pre-season around, you know, COVID contingencies and top-up players. And, you know, we did a lot of work with the clubs. And at the time, to be honest, a lot of the clubs thought that, you know, it was unlikely that COVID top-up players would need to be used. But here we are in the situation. So I know it's been hugely challenging for West Coast in particular. You know, but I think we're, for the industry's sake, we've got to keep games going. So, you know, West Coast have, you know, I know it's been difficult for them, but they've done, you know, a terrific job in the circumstances. I know that might be hard for people to hear over in Perth, but they've done an enormous amount of work behind the scenes and worked really closely with us.
Brad, the aesthetics of the game always under scrutiny, no more so than the job you have now. And we've got some numbers in front of us, which I guess tell us a tale about where the game is heading. Are you comfortable with how attractive it looks, the scoring numbers, the way that it is being received by fans in general?
Yeah, look, all in all, I think the game's in a really good spot in terms of the way the game's being played. And there'll always be different views, and I think that's what makes our game great. You know, there two people can watch the same game and have a different view as to, you know, whether it was a good game or not. But yeah, and I'm also really conscious that numbers, you can use stats to tell a whole lot of stories. So, you know, we don't, you know, I'm not a fan of sort of pulling out one stat and using that as a proxy for the state of the game. But I think the combination of stats that we're seeing are pleasing. And the one that probably is the most pleasing is the margin compression. We're seeing the tightest margins across the first 8 weeks of this season in the last decade. And that's in combination with scoring being slightly up. So that talks to the fact that, you know, most fans can have a reasonable expectation that their team's got a chance to win.
One thing, Brad, that's never changed. I don't know what Lou Matthews used to say to you, but Mick Muldaur said to us, first team to 12 goals wins, boys. And on the weekend, 8 of 9 games were decided with the team getting to 12 goals first. In fact, in 8 of those 9 games, none of the opposition except for Collingwood made it to 12 goals. Gold Coast won with only 10 goals on the board. So that was an interesting statistic that I've always carried with me, which hasn't changed. Even though players now handle the football about 250 times more.
It's interesting the way different people look at it. I mean, that's interesting you say that with Mick, Carl, because my experience as an assistant coach to Mick Malthouse was that we just weren't going to let the opposition score. So, maybe he changed from his West Coast to his Collingwood days.
Now, just one quick one before I let Skeet back at you. The Stan rule. Now, I've noticed this one too, Brad, and you being an old AFL coach, I don't reckon you'd be happy either. How many blokes do you see now within range trying to run around the corner and kick a goal and miss? It happens every week.
I reckon we actually got some PhD students looking at this because it's a question that I get a little bit as to, you know, what's more accurate, the standard traditional set shot of goal or the round the corner shot. So we're actually going to do a study on that and I'll get back to you with the results.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, Brad, what Carl and I have seen commentating footy is exactly what Carl said. They, if they're 50 out, they go on the arc, and 9 times out of 10, they botch their kick or don't kick the goal they're hoping to. Speaking of goals, Brad, the stat that I was quite fascinated with regards to big forwards hitting the scoreboard through eight rounds, 29 times this season. They've seen five goal hauls put in place. In context, last year, there were 50 in total. So, obviously, the Lynches, Kernos, Camerons, Peter Wright, etc., and McKay, they're getting hold of the footy. I think people want to see the forwards have their time in the sun.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that, you know, we're probably all showing our age here, but, you know, we grew up in a bit of a golden era of, you know, Dunstall, Lockett, Ablett, Modra, you know, Peter Sumich, you know, all these great full forwards kicking bags of goals. And, you know, for quite a while, we've said that, you know, these guys have been almost bred out of the game. So it's great to see the big key forwards kicking bags of goals. And I think the major difference now is when we say big key forwards, that they are, like, they're over 200 centimetres, these guys. So, you know, when you think back to those days, you know, Dunstall and Lockett at about 189 centimetres, it's the game does change and evolve, and so do the players.
Now, Brad, let me ask you a two-part question. One, relating to the descent rule, which has obviously copped a lot of attention. The front bar promo, I thought, was quite interesting with you in the coach's box and just displaying times of frustration, which I'm sure you had a giggle at yourself. But on a serious note, the level of descent, it looks like it's now got into a bit of a rhythm. And in fact, talking to people in the WAFL over here, even at that level where those rules aren't in place, players are reacting from what they're seeing at the top, which is players showing, I guess, more restraint and more respect to officials.
Yeah, look, to your first point, yeah, it was hilarious. And I did say to our AFL executive that, you know, how the media are going to run this with me lecturing people on umpire descent. But, you know, ultimately it's, you know, do as I say, not as I did. But and I think that's true for all of us. I mean, we probably grew up in an era where people thought that it was okay, you know, to abuse umpires. And the reality is it's just not, you know, it's not going to solve all the challenges we've got with needing to attract more umpires to the game. But you know, the elite players do have a responsibility to set the example. And it's really pleasing to hear that about the waffle. And that's the feedback we're getting from community football as well, that the players at that level are mirroring what they're seeing at AFL level. And it's got to the point where there's no doubt we had some teething problems. No doubt we had a bit of a rocky start. But it's the right thing to do, and the players have responded really well to the point now where it's almost a non-issue.
When I used to have a crack at Pete Cameron and Darren Goldspink, Scotty, they used to say to me, the next time you go near the footy, you're not getting a free kick. So, and they weren't wired up back in those days, so it used to work both ways. So I'm sure you can relate to that. Now, just last one from me, the mid-season draft's around the corner. How important is this to the game going forward, and what sort of discussions around this sort of scenario? Because we've heard different things that might like to be introduced into the game, but how important is this going to be in the next couple of weeks?
Well, I think the mid-season drafts are, we've seen some great success stories with players being drafted, you know, John Newcomb and Hawthorn and amongst others. But I think it's something that I'm really passionate about and really keen to work with all the state leagues, the Waffle, SANFL and the VFL, is that, you know, we continue to protect the integrity of those competitions. And that is hugely challenging when you're taking essentially players out of, for example, Waffle clubs. But I think it's really important that young kids who don't get drafted in the national draft have secondary opportunities. And you know, I think it will help the second tier competitions that, you know, it will help them recruit and attract players if those players think there is another opportunity to forge their way through to the AFL. So I understand the challenges with it, but I think it's really important to create as many opportunities as we can for players to get drafted.
And Brad, as a former coach yourself, now working at the AFL, the story of the day, of course, Leon Cameron stepping away from the Giants. I'm sure you've got empathy for him, as a lot of people do. Apparently a really good footy person. I guess the AFL and others will wrap their arms around him if required. And B, do you see down the track a future in footy for Leon, should he choose?
Oh, Leon can stay in football as long as he wants to. He's a real, real talent. He's a quality person. And any person who's had anything to do with Leon both back when he was playing and coaching. He's just a terrific person, and I'm sure he won't be lost to the AFL. Coaching expansion club must be incredibly difficult. I think, you know, in the fullness of time, people will look back at his achievements and you know, think that he's done a terrific job. So, you know, I'm sure if he wants to stay in footy, he will.
Thanks very much for your time. Commercial radio, mate, we've got to get to a break. We'd love to keep on chatting, but we do appreciate you giving us your time tonight.
Pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Good on you. Brad Scott here on Sports Day, talking about plenty of the hot topics bubbling around in the AFL. Thanks to the Dardanut Butchering Company's Valley Spring Lamb, available at WA's best restaurants, hotels and cafes. We would love to hear from you. 133-882. A few of the things that we've discussed. Give us your thoughts next.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
133-882 is our number. So what did you think on the back of what Brad Scott had to say to us tonight? We asked a number of questions. Interesting that they are actually doing a study on the stand rule. And, Skeet, you and I have been talking about this for weeks. I've been talking about it for probably longer. I've been a lot stronger on this, I reckon, than you. But it is an issue. And it has, once you sort of start to pay attention to it, it actually becomes more significant.
Well, it's probably, from what we're watching, it's, and try to explain this, and generally this happens when someone has a mark at the 50-metre arc or thereabouts. If they're not sure they're going to get their distance with the kick on goal, invariably, instead of running at the goals and straight at the man on the mark and kicking it through the footy that way, they try to make some metres because of the stand rule. And that is by going either right or left, and then the player, the umpire calls play on. The problem is, Carl, as we've seen so many times, is that the player, in the attempt to get closer to goal or give themselves the range, they often go askew with their kicks. So that to me, I think it's a 10% of the time I see it
work
successfully.
You're being kind. Okay. Too kind, because they've been doing it from closer. That's the point that I'm making. They've been doing it from like 35 metres out. And that's the issue that I have. Instead of going straight back over the mark, knowing that you can already kick 50 metres and kicking over the man on the mark, they still do it. So, yep, I reckon that research needs to be done. I'll be interested to see what the outcome is. 133-882 is the number. Just a sports update. Selling or renting, century21.com.au. Couple of Aussies. Daria Saville, who's 28, is into the Roland Garros tournament as a wild card, and Chris O'Connell as well was awarded a wild card today. So he joins Demonour, Duckworth, Thompson, Millman, Kokkinakis and Popperin in that tournament, which is always good, Skate.
Absolutely. And by the way, we gave the Fremantle Dockers Gold Coast Suns ins and outs for Sunday afternoon. For West Coast and Melbourne, the hippie shake has come back into vogue with Jackson Nelson, Bailey Williams, Alex Witherden, Greg Clark and Hugh Dixon, who was also out and about on that fateful weekend, are into the side. Out goes Jake Florenka, omitted because, of course, of the numbers that are available now at West Coast, but he would be more than satisfied with what he achieved in his first game. Declan Mountford, the medisub, he's been injured, so I'm not so sure that he'll be playing any footy this weekend. For the Demons, Mitch Brown, Cade Chandler, Jake Melksham and Adam Tomlinson into the side. Toby Bedford is the medisub. And a couple of milestones. Sam Petrevsky, Seton, 100 games next to his name. And Jack Redden, wow, it's snuck up. 250 games for Jack Redden, a premiership player. But 250, that's an awful lot of footy. So no surprise that his shoulders are a bit sore and he's a bit banged up, Carl. He's had a long time out in the middle. But 250, an honourable achievement.
Yeah, 133-882. Now, the expansion of Australian cricket, the women's national one-day competition has had a major change. They've had this one-year rollover agreement between Cricket Australia and the Cricket Association today. They've signalled that there is a new era of cooperation between the warring parties. Well, I don't know what 12 months is going to do to the memorandum of understanding. But one thing that was announced today is that there will be more games scheduled for female domestic players. They will still remain the highest paid in Aussie sport when you talk about female sport in this country. And it'll be interesting to see how many games are going to be played. I mean, previously, There was 8 matches for all teams. It now looks like that the National Cricket League is going to extend to 12 full home and away fixtured games from next summer. So this just underscores the bilateral commitment to growing the women's game in this country. And we've seen this so much in women's sport.
Absolutely. And look, to be fair, the cricketers, be they male or female in Australia over the past 12 to 18 months, and from this side of the country, it's been really difficult and there's been no continuity out of their hands, of course, because of COVID. But yeah, that's great to see that there's getting more support, more matches to show their skills and increase potentially their pay over time. So that's a very important step for women's cricket. By the way, the Australia Cup, ever heard of that before, Carl?
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
it's on a race at Flemington. It's on a race.
No. That's the game that Perth Glory are playing tonight.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, the Newcastle Jets in the second half lead Perth Glory 2-0. Glory, whose A-League season has come to an end, they finished on a pretty good note against Melbourne City, with a victory. I know. I'm weird time of the year to be playing this knockout comp when the A-League finals are on. But anyway, they trailed 2-0 into the second half over there on the East Coast.
All right, what's hot for you? Thanks to the Dardanup Butcher and Company's taste of the beautiful Dardanup Valley Spring Lamb as we head to Mark down in Rollystone. G'day, Mark.
Down in Rollystone. You mean up in Rollystone, don't you?
Up. Well, up, down, around, yep.
Yeah, up the hill, Mark. Hey, just a comment on Brad Scott's appointment to as the umpires coordinator for the AFL. Isn't that a bit appointing Mike Tyson to the to be a peace envoy for the United Nations, for goodness sake.
So he's not the umpires coordinator. He's the AFL general manager of football. So he oversees a number of different areas in the game. One obviously
including umpiring.
Yeah, one part of it would be umpiring for sure. Yeah.
Well, he's certainly been behind and initiated a number of these changes for the umpiring for footy, which for me has changed the game completely. I mean, look, we need to listen to what the public say because they're the ones that pay and come through the gate, and I'm one of those punters that come through the gate and pay to watch footy. You know, I just find that the game's becoming so sterile and sort of robotic that it's taken the enjoyment out of the game. And I don't mean that we need to see a free-for-all every game that we watch or whatever, but I've umpired for 20 years and I don't have a problem controlling most games. And, if I have a bit of difficulty, I can usually bring it around because, one, I've played footy for umpteen years and I've umpired for 20. So, I don't have a real issue with it. And if there's going to be a promotion, if we're short of umpires, and this is another point that I wanted to make, if we're going to promote umpiring, let's get some of these footballers that have played and promoted amongst the players, because often when players go out of footy, we lose them and we lose all that experience. Whereas when we, when we get sort of these young blokes doing, 19-year-olds doing waffle games and what have you, they don't seem to have the same feel for the game as what ex-players have.
Yeah, no.
So that's the other point. So that's, I just feel that, it's not becoming, football's not the spectacle that it used to be. And really gone overboard with these umpiring things, particularly, an umpire these days without getting 50 metres.
Yeah, look,
it's just ridiculous.
Mark, I sympathise with what you have to say because we've often looked, and I've seen even for a player that's been penalised 50 metres for an indiscretion with the stand rule, and it's a very harsh penalty. I mean, essentially anything forward of centre means it's a shot on goal for someone moving half a metre to their right or left. For me, it's frustrating and I understand that, but let's not shoot the messenger, which is, of course, the umpires, because they are just given the rules, and I feel sorry for them, because they've had to make and adjust and adjudicate so many variations of rules over the past decade, let alone the past 5 years, that it is so tough for them to administer it with immediate effect, but also for players and fans to get their head around it as well. So I understand, Mark, with your claim of this game being a bit robotic. Look, the best games, and I always referred to the grand final last year, that for me was pure football at its best. We have some games where, it's ugly and there's umpiring decisions which aren't great, but in general, we've still got a good game, but I am concerned, like a lot of people, that we are changing rules. And the numbers, Carl, in terms of goals being kicked, which is what essentially the AFL wanted, they haven't really gone up much at all.
Well, I just said that to him. And I've got historical evidence of it too, mate. You know, given that, you know, I started in 1988, Mulderhouse came in 1990, played till, 96, been commentating ever since. And, mate, I could sit here and talk about it forever. But anyway, I'll do that anyway. So let's go to Des and Yokon. Let's hear from Des. G'day, Des.
Good evening, gentlemen. Now, this ridiculous stand there, don't breathe, don't blink rule that you have, I think, just to add to it, for the stupidity of it, is if anybody kicks the ball into the man on the mark, he should have the ball taken off and given a 25-metre penalty, and that'll take care of that lot. Add stupidity to the ridiculous.
Oh, I'm not sure that'll happen. You know, there used to be a 15-metre penalty going back to when I was a kid, Carl, and no. Kevin Sheedy and the likes used to get their players to professionally give those free kicks away just to hold up the play. But 15-metre penalties now turn into 50 metres, which means clubs are not happy, coaches are not happy when they're given away. I'm not sure they're kicking the man in the mark.
If you're kicking the man in the mark, you are absolutely, you've got no excuse for it, because the poor guy in the mark can't do a thing.
I agree, Des. That's an under-12s mistake, and we see that all the time. Look, the one question I did want to ask Brad was around the zone, around the player that's about to kick the ball, whether it be the stand rule or anything else, because you see a lot of players now trying to run past and drag players in there, and I reckon that's become a bit of an issue, and that is something that I think that they certainly need to rectify. We need to get to a commitment. 133-882 is our number here on Sports Day, and after the break, we're going to have a chat to Josh Carr from Freo.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Our number is 133-882. You can join us at any time. And Josh Carr joins us from the Freo Dockers, assistant coach. Curry, welcome. How are you, mate?
Yes, thanks for having me, guys.
Michael Walters succumbs to COVID this time. It never ends, does it?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's obviously that time of the year. You know, like you're sort of dealing with, I guess we've been dealing with it in, I guess, many ways over the last couple of years, but more so this year with COVID itself.
Good news is, Kari, you've got Rory Lobb, Griffin Logue, Ethan Hughes, Blake Akers, Michael Frederick and Travis Collier coming back into the mix, which is some talent and experience all at once.
Yeah, it's nice to have those guys back in the squad and, you know, having a rest in some ways. I'm not sure how much of a rest you have with COVID, but, you know, those guys sort of get a week off and you get a win and then inject some freshness into the team is always nice to have that.
Carl mentioned the absence of Michael Walters. Sam Switkowski, we knew, would be out after being concussed last week. But Nathan O'Driscoll, can you update us on his injury and how long he'll be sidelined for?
Yeah, it's obviously disappointing to have Driz go out of the team. He's got a little stress fracture in his foot. So, as I said, that's disappointing. I'm not really sure exactly what the time frame is with it. But you assess it sort of as we go. He's in a moon boot at the moment. And hopefully he gets back sooner rather than later.
Josh, you've been playing some great footy as a club. You've certainly got that attacking part of your game really working. Inside 50s are up. Marks inside 50 have been really good. It's a defence-first strategy, I know. And now with competition for spots, the environment's looking pretty hot.
Yeah, it's definitely healthy. The competition for spots and I guess with the six guys that that went out of the team and then the performance of the guys that came in and replaced those guys was really pleasing. So there's pressure on everyone to perform, but at the same time, I guess there's a lot of confidence with the guys that come into the team week to week that they're going to play the same role, whatever the person that went out the week before was playing.
I have always been an advocate for good football teams win wherever they play. And you demolished Essendon, you went down to Geelong on the road and you beat Geelong on their home ground. And it's not always an easy trip to the Gold Coast, but you take them on this time and it's another notch on your belt if you can get the job done.
Yeah, like there's definitely a big challenge, obviously going to the Gold Coast. Their wins, they've played some really good football and their contest work has been, you know, they've got some really obviously good midfielders going through there with Miller and Rowell and Anderson and these guys and Swallow that have, you know, been around for a while. So there's no doubt it's going to be a big challenge for us. And you know, the weather looks like there's been raining a fair bit and a lot of rain to come. So it's going to be a very contested game of football, and one obviously we're looking forward to, and looking forward to another challenge of travelling and going and getting the win.
And Josh, which begs the question, with that weather, with the forwards you've selected, and obviously Lobb comes back into the mix, you've got Tracy, Amos, all there and giving you that height and that size. And Amos, as I said, second game up, have you going to try and stretch them depending on the weather? Because if it is a bit wet, maybe not going so sore might be the answer.
Yeah, that's obviously something we're going to have to, I guess, juggle with. I think the forecast for Sunday is not too bad. But, you know, with the amount of rain that I've had this week, it's still going to be slippery. So, yeah, all those, I guess, decisions that we're going to have to make as a coaching group to make sure that we've got the balance right and that we're able to play our way and our brand of football.
Thanks for joining us, Josh.
Thanks, guys.
Josh Carr, Fremantle Dockers assistant coach. Fremantle against the Suns this Sunday, 11:40 Western Standard Time, and looking forward to that coverage here on 882 6PR. That kicking off at 11 a.m. Now, Skeet, let's just quickly roll through a couple of the other teams. Don't sell with any ordinary real estate. You can sell with century21.com.au.
Yeah, let's go initially to the match which kicks off the round. That is, of course, tomorrow night between the Collingwood Magpies and the Western Bulldogs. And into the side for Collingwood comes Caleb Poulter. Out goes Ginnivan, the Anzac medalist with illness, and Bianco, who's been omitted. Now for the Bulldogs, Cleary on debut. Keith, Sweet, West and Bontempelli is back, which is good news for the Dogs. But they lose the likes of Waitman through injury. Martin's being managed. O'Brien is injured. So too Vandermeer. And the likes of Crozier is the Medi sub. And we've got, of course, some names there that will hurt the Bulldogs in their absence. Hawthorn and Richmond, interesting here. We've got Nash and Butler on debut, by the way, the latter coming in. Wingard returns, so too Mitch Lewis. But Ward, Tom Mitchell is the big out for them. He's being managed. McDonald, Liam Shields and Jackson Callow out. As for the Tigers, Nick Floston returns, which is fantastic. Bigoa Nguyen is on debut. Dion Prestia, the other player. We'll have to work out exactly the background for the debutant for the Tigers. Ryan Mantle, Sydney Stack, Shane Edwards and Josh Gipkus are both and all out of the side, either being managed, medi-subbed or suspension in Ryan Mantle's case.
Beautiful, mate. And we're introducing the Kia EV6, unanimously judged the Wheels Car of the Year. It's leading the charge. We'll clear a commitment, come back. And we're going to be playing Beat the Boys after the news. I'll give you the call number to be, the lucky number. And then we've also got some special guests. We'll be back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Well, news hot off the press in a landmark moment for the game of rugby union. Australia has been confirmed tonight in Dublin as the Men's World Cup hosts in 2027, and the country will also host the 2029 Women's World Cup. So that is a huge announcement, and I'm sure that we will be able to get some guests on in the coming days here on 882 6PR to elaborate a little bit further on that. If you want to play Beat the Boys, though, after the break, you'll be taking on Mark Reddings, because whilst I pumped myself up last week, I got absolutely blown away. I'll let Mark Reddings just take us through that, because I know he's itching too. So 133-882, if you want to be caller number 9.
You got pants.
Caller number 9.
Absolutely pants. Yeah,
okay, for the Toolkit Depot, ultimate range, it's task time. It's the ultimate destination. And yes, you can just heckle in the background and laugh and be snide, but they'll be taking on you, and I hope you get rolled. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Now on Sports Day, it's time for Beat the Boys.
Oh, don't you just love it when the man that just pushes the buttons behind the scenes just lets his own little sort of, I don't know, Skeet, what would you call it? His entrepreneurial flair.
It sounded like his inner Metallica self just coming out and really just absorbing into our sports radio show. But Franco, beautifully done.
Beautifully done. I reckon sometimes he gets a little bit bored. But anyway, hey, let's get to the business part of this. Now, go on. What happened last week?
Well, last
week...
You
can tell it.
No? Well, I will, yeah. Because you were very confident about your role in Beat the Boys, and you said it'd be game over by Friday night, when, of course, you tipped the Bulldogs to beat Port Adelaide, and Port Adelaide won, and then you tipped Hawthorn to beat Essendon, and that didn't come off. So, you were a little bit gun-shy. But look, you were confident, you were slightly arrogant. I'm going to take a different approach. I feel vulnerable, I feel worried, and I'm just not sure I'm going to be up to beating the Boys this week. But I'll give it my best shot, Carl. That's all I can say.
Well, you've only been beaten once, and so that was my first go. And so I'm none from one. We're up to round nine, which means that you were successful in seven out of six of the seven previous weeks. So let's go to Golden Bay and invite Corey onto your radio. G'day, Corey.
G'day, boys. How are we?
We're good.
We're well. How's your tipping been going, mate?
Look, to be honest with you, I don't do any tipping. I just follow footy. I love it.
That's smart
move.
Well,
that's interesting. Why do you not get involved in the tipping thing, Corey?
I just get too frustrated when I get a tip wrong, so I just watch the sport and love it.
Well, that'll be this week.
I understand your pain.
Yeah.
But, all right. Well, I am going to just go back to what I normally do, and that's just read out the games and roll through and, you know, just listen to you two go at it. So let's start with Friday night footy. Caleb Poulter comes in for Collingwood. Ginevan is out. Bianco has been omitted. Keith Sweet, Cleary, Bonampelli and Riley West. The Western Bulldogs trying to do something to turn their season around. Waitman, Crozier, Vandermeer, Smith, Stephen Martin gets managed, so he goes out for rest because he's old. And Tim O'Brien is injured. Mark Reddings, you go first. Corey, I hope you know how to play, right? You know how to play?
Yeah, mate. Of course do, yeah.
Okay. All right, good.
Okay, so Collingwood has won four of their past five against the Western Bulldogs. Both these sides, they're potential finalists, but not setting the world on fire. The Bulldogs, very disappointing last week against Port Adelaide. That being said, with Bontempelli back, just think their midfield's a shade better than Collingwood's. Going to go with the Bulldogs.
Corey?
Yep, Bulldogs for sure.
Right, so that is Friday night footy sorted. Let's head to the first game on Saturday. The early game is Richmond against Hawthorn. Wingard, Nash, Lewis and Butler in for the Hawks. McDonald, Kello, Ward, Shields and Tommy Mitchell, who's been managed, go out. Chad Wingard playing his 200th game. Congratulations to him. Bigoa Nyong, along with Dion Prestia and Nick Loston. Bigoa Nyong.
No, Sam, you did really well.
Thank you. Josh Gibkus, I see I stuffed that one out. He's out with COVID protocols. Ryan Mansell, Shane Edwards has been managed, and Sydney Stack was the medi sub. He has been dropped, Skeet.
Richmond, they've won 26 of their past 30-day games at the MCG. We saw them against the Eagles, albeit it was flimsy opposition, 109-point winners. I was foolish enough to tip Collingwood last week against the Tigers. Dusty Martin came back, was 15 disposals, got amongst it. Their best is still good enough to beat most teams in the competition, including Hawthorn. So the Tigers for me.
Corey?
Yeah, I'll go to the Tigers too.
Right, so tracking even, Stephen, right now as we head to North Melbourne and Port Adelaide. Nick Larkey after a week suspension. Tom Powell, good young player back in. McKay is injured. Greenwood out due to COVID protocols. Horn Francis, the number one pick, is out injured. Kane Farrell comes in for Port Adelaide. Riley Bonner, unfortunately, has made way. He is injured. Trent Dumont has COVID, so he's gone out due to H&S protocols. A lot of that affecting a lot of teams, which we spoke to Brad Scott about earlier. Skeet, who wins this one?
Well, this will tell us whether David Noble has lost his team or not after apologising for an outburst a couple of weeks ago. Horn Francis, a big omission for them. And Port Adelaide, well, Ken Hinckley was on the edge of the cliff only a couple of weeks ago, but their team is starting to get some form momentum. And despite doing a lot of travelling in the past 3 or 4 weeks, they will beat North Melbourne.
Corey?
Yeah, totally agree with that one. Port Adelaide.
Right. So, St Kilda and Geelong, Sharman Billings come in. Jack Billings' first game for the season. Out goes Butler, Windhager and Nasiah Wanganeed-Millera. And at Geelong, it's Selwood and Stanley coming in. A lot of experience there with Cooper Stevens being omitted. Francis Evans, a couple of young players being omitted. And Jed Buse, of course, injured.
Yeah, Joel Selwood, what, 334 games, the captain returns. What I like about Geelong, even though they have been a bit up and down, is when you put Cameron, when you put Hawkins together, you're always looking at the best part of 7 to 10, 12 goals between them on a good day. And that's going to be tough to stop for St Kilda. So I think at Marvel there, a far better chance of getting a victory. But the Saints, to me, just a little bit too inconsistent. And Geelong's experience probably across the line. But this is one of those games a little bit unsure of, but going with the Cats.
Corey?
Yeah, going with the Cats too.
Okay, so he's got to go at least one different. Is this going to be the game? The Sydney Swans have been a little bit ordinary the last couple of weeks, beaten by Gold Coast last week. Bombers got the job done when most thought that they wouldn't. Bell, Wicks, Hickey come in for the Swans. Ronk, Campbell and Hayden McLean go out. And for Essendon, Kelly, Ridley, Guelphy and Durham come in. Out goes Zerk, Thatcher, Braden Ham, Devon Smith with illness, and Kane Baldwin has been omitted. Skeeton, Dyson Heppel will play his 200th game.
Yeah, wonderful player, great servant for the Bombers. If you didn't know, the last five games between these sides has been decided by 15 points or less, and many of those matches have been at the SCG. Look, Sydney have been really disappointing. I was big on them being a top four finisher this season. I'm going to stick and tip them here. The Bombers' second half against Hawthorn really good, but look, I'm expecting them to be competitive, but I think Sydney still at home. You've got to give them one more chance.
Corey?
Yeah, I'll go Sydney as well.
Right. So we roll down to Adelaide and Brisbane. Smith, Fogarty, Soligo, Jake Soligo. So there's a new player that we haven't seen much of. Kieran Strawn, he's going to replace Riley O'Brien, who's been omitted. Ned McHenry is back. Frampton, Cook, Schoenberg, Gollant, Lachlan Murphy join O'Brien as the exclusions. Gardner and Eric Hipwood is back. He will play his first game for the season. And, of course, Brisbane have lost a couple of big forwards in Danaher and now McStay. Lester is outmanaged. He's an older player, of course. And Thomas Berry goes out as the medi sub. Skeet, which way are you going here?
The hippie shakes back. Not the hippie club, but Eric Hipwood. So on that basis, if they're getting someone of his calibre back in the side, Brisbane's class will prevail.
Corey?
Yeah, I'm going Brisbane too.
Right, so we then head to Sunday's games. Gold Coast and Freo. Constable Jeffrey, and of course these are only squads at this point. They won't be confirmed until around 3 o'clock tomorrow, the final 22s. Noah Anderson should be back. Sam Day, Sam Flanders, Davies and Lukosius are definitely out at Freo. Akers, Hughes, Logue, Frederick, Lobb and Tabiner, the six COVID protocol players from last week, have been added to the squad. Michael Walters is out due to COVID. Nathan O'Driscoll is injured. Sam Switkowski got concussion, unfortunately, after a knee to the head by Horn Francis last week. Who wins, Skeet?
Could be a banana peel, this, for the Dockers if they're not careful. slippery conditions up in the Gold Coast and lots of rain. And the Gold Coast are a lot better side up there. But they're winning, and they're winning matches in a row, and they've won six, and I think they'll make it seven. I'm hoping they'll make it seven because they're in a trajectory to finish top four. So tipping the Dockers to win. In fact, this is the first time I've tipped them away from home this year. Hopefully I don't mock them, but Fremantle for me.
Corey?
Yeah, I'm going Fremantle too.
Righto, GWS and Carlton. Stone, Riccardi and Brun come into the squad for the Giants. Kemp, Hewitt, Motlop, Fogarty, Plowman, Dow. Mackay is out. That's a big loss. Jack Martin, also a big loss. So he's been kicking some goals. And Lewis Young due to H&S protocols. Skeet?
I'm guessing this is where Corey and I will differ. I've thought about this last night. I put my tip in last night, by the way, for the West Australian. I've gone, before the decision of the Giants and of their coach Leon Cameron to part ways, I've tipped the Giants, who've won their past five against the Blues. They haven't been in great form, but I just get the feeling they might be able to win to say goodbye to Leon Cameron. Bear in mind, I put that selection in last night.
Corey?
Yeah, I'm going the Blue Baggers.
All right. So there you go. There's the one different because who's either of you tipping West Coast? Skeet, you're first.
I think Melbourne, I think, is a fair assumption from both parties here.
Corey? Yeah, yep, absolutely.
Right. Good luck, Corey. Thank you for listening to Sports Day, mate.
Good on you, Corey.
Cheers, boys. Have a good one.
The $50 voucher is up for grabs. If Corey's able to win to the Sporting Globe, you'll find them both down in Rockingham and also in Belmont. Sporting Globe, get in there, have a feed, have a drink, and enjoy the hospitality.
And just quickly, Carl, of those selections, were there any matches that you thought I might have got wrong that you would like to just chip in and give us a couple?
Gone for Carlton.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Carlton.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't reckon you got too many of the others that I think everything else you went was what I tipped, to be honest. So,
the Giants is a little bit of a, but I don't know. I think they'll be competitive in Leon's last game.
Yeah, and you'd expect that they should be too, given that he has essentially got the marching orders because they're not playing well enough. Now, we need a clearer commitment. We are going to come back and we're going to change codes. Kevvy Walters, the Brisbane Broncos coach, is going to join us. Thanks to the Toolkit Depot, your ultimate tax time destination. Really looking forward to having a chat to Kevvy. His team have been heading in the right direction. Of course, there is a big weekend when it comes to rugby league, so looking forward to having a chat to Kev about that. Stacey Francis Bayman too, not too far away. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Thanks to Repco, from navigating open roads to wrangling uncharted tracks. For 100 years, Repco's been driven by passion, and it's fantastic to have a man who is very, very passionate about his code and particularly about his club right now, and that is the coach of the Brisbane Broncos. His name is Kevin Walters, and he joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Kev. How are you, mate?
Thank you. Great to be on the show, boys.
Things going a lot better in the last couple of weeks.
Well, I have been, sort of the last month. I mean, we got a bit of a touch-up from Penrith, but they've sort of, we weren't alone there. They've put the cleaners through a few clubs. I think Penrith and Melbourne are the two standout teams, and I guess the rest of us are chasing those two down. But, and then we sort of strung three wins together with, on the back of some really strong defence, which I've been really happy and really proud about. So, things are looking a lot rosier than they were sort of this time last year, but still a lot of work to be done to get us back to, where we were sort of in our heyday.
You mentioned, Kevin, three wins in a row, with all due respects to Canterbury, who you beat 34-14. To knock over the Sharks and then South Sydney, they're two powerhouse clubs, so that must give you a bit of faith you're doing something right and heading in the right direction.
Yeah, it certainly does. The players, to their credit, have worked, really hard this year, and Adam Reynolds has been a godsend for us, really, with just his personality, his character, and the way he goes about his footy. He's a very relaxed type of person. He's a captain of the side this year as well, so he's just leading the way in many avenues. And then we picked up a couple of other guys who've got good experience. Kurt Capewell's played State of Origin, won a premiership last year with the Panthers, so he's been really good for us as well. And Ryan James, the unsung hero, who hasn't played a lot with us in the last two or three weeks, but he's another very experienced player that just sets good moods and good capabilities around our training and what we're doing there. So, they've been good for us, and we're looking forward to, obviously, the magic weekend. There's a bit of rain coming down in Brisbane this weekend, but that won't stop the footy going ahead.
Absolutely. Kevvy, I was about to ask you about the magic round up in Brisbane. Tell us about it, because in the AFL, on this side of the world, it's obviously not at a stage where you can conduct all matches in one city on one weekend, but Magic Round's pretty special, particularly for Queensland. Everyone heads up to Suncorp, and it's a fantastic carnival atmosphere, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not sure why you can't do it in the AFL. You might have to use two venues, maybe. But so all the games are at Suncorp, so we've got two games tomorrow night. The first game will kick off at 6, and then the second game, which is us, will kick off at 8 o'clock. On Saturday, there's three games, and on Sunday, there's three games. So it's just a festival of rugby league. And for the rugby league fans, they just love it so much. I mean, all the fans get in there with their club jerseys, and they even actually watch the teams that they don't like so much. They like to see them lose or not do so well. So it creates a great atmosphere. And Suncorp, the stadium capacity is about 55,000. And tomorrow night, there's about 50 coming through, depending on the weather, of course. Well, 50,000 tickets have been sold. Saturday night sold out. Of course, the Melbourne Storm are playing Penrith in the main game there at 7:30 at Suncorp. So you can't get a ticket on Saturday. And Sunday's about 50,000, I believe, and growing as well. So, magnificent numbers. And what a great state we've got here. What a great stadium we've got here in Queensland when it comes to, rugby league.
Hey, Kev, just on this point, though, Manly have to come to your state to play. Do they get one back later in the year? I mean, how does that part work?
No, they don't. It's just the way the cookie crumbles in the old days. And Manly, by the way, will be taking our home shed, so that's a huge advantage for them. We'll have to go in the away shed to prepare for the game. But
come on.
Yeah. But last year they put the bloody cleaners to us. It got to like 40-something to not a whole lot. So we're looking forward to, you know, putting in a much better performance to that. And Manly, they've got, a lot of the teams have, you know, if their team's not Brisbane, they have other, you know, teams that they support. So there will be a lot of people from out of town that are coming in as well. But, of course, a lot of these Sydney teams before the Broncos came into the competition enjoyed great support from Queensland people. So it really does make for a fun weekend. If you're a supporter of any of those teams, it really is. And some of the fans, just it's great seeing them, you know, getting together with the banter about their club and their side and how they're going. So it's a really fun weekend for all the supporters of the game.
Absolutely. Chatting with Kevvy Walters, Brisbane Broncos coach, on Sports Day. Now, I thought you'd be a bit nervous confronting one Trbojevic, not just two Trbojevic, but there's three. What's going on? When's this going to stop?
Three of the buggers, and they're all playing good footy as well. So, that's been the focal point for us this week. Focusing on our own game and our own performance, but also what's on in the opposition. And Tom Trbojevic, their fullback, is one of the best players in the NRL. And his older brother, Jake Trbojevic, plays in the middle, and he's one of the better middle forwards in the game. And now they've got a younger brother that's come in last weekend. He's had about four or five games in first grade. He sort of plays on the wing or in the centres, and he's picked up two or three tries last week down in Manly at their home game. So they're full of confidence, the Trbojevic boys, and they are a good family. They're a good, it's great when a family of that size, with three boys representing in the NRL, it's a terrific effort. I'm not sure that's happened in the AFL at all. I had a couple of brothers that played in the NRL. I had two. We played together with both of them, but there was never three of us on the field at any one time. So it's a super effort from that family to get where they are.
Well, the Danaher's, and of course we've got the big freeze, Kevy, just around the corner for Neil Danaher, who sadly has just recently lost his voice due to a motor neurone disease. Oh. He played with his brothers Neil and Terry. They represented the Essendon Football Club back in the days when I was running around, mate, when you were running around playing back in the day too. There's a young bloke in your team by the name of Corey Oates. He scored 8 tries in 11 games against Manly. Why is it always against Manly?
Well, I don't know, but he's been in good touch with us this year, Corey Oates. He's found like a rich vein of form, and he's been scoring tries. He's a big, tall unit, so you know he's good under the high ball and the cross-field kicks, and he's also quite a powerful athlete. So, yeah, he's really found his rhythm, his mojo, and I hope he's picked up a couple on the weekend because he's in great touch, and it's good to see him playing. He's put a lot of work in through the off-season, you know, getting his body right. So he's 6'2" or 6'3", so it's a big frame, perfect for your game, actually, down there, you know, in Perth, over in Perth. But he's, he's quite an athlete, and we're looking forward to hopefully putting on a couple more tries for us this weekend against Manly.
Now, Kevy, I know it's the 2 points you're chasing tomorrow night against the Sea Eagles, but what about State of Origin? We know Game 2 coming to WA. You coach Queensland in the game that, unfortunately, your boys lost at Optus Stadium. Given the fact that I spent some time, I've got family in Queensland, Mount Gravatt, I went to school there for a bit. Are we any chance against the Blues this year? Because last year was a bit grim at times.
Yeah. No, we certainly are. We certainly are from a Queensland point of view. And the Perth game, it'll be a great experience for those boys. That's a magnificent stadium you guys, you know, have got there. Unfortunately, when I was coaching the Maroons, we didn't sort of fare too well over in Perth. But this is a different lineup here that the Maroons have got. They've got good depth. And in the key positions in our game, which is the hooker, the two halves and the fullback, the Queensland contingent are probably as good as anyone in the NRL. Cameron Munster is one of the best players in the NRL. He'll, of course, be playing for Queensland. And Harry Grant's a young hooker coming through, so he'll be great for Queensland as well. And then you've got DCE, the old master, and Kalen Ponga. So our key players are in good touch, and they're in ready to go and ready to rip the guts out of New South Wales down in Perth.
Kev, thank you very much for having a chat to us tonight, mate. Take care.
Good on you, boys. Love being on the show. Thanks for having us on.
Good on you. Kevvy Walters there, Brizzy Broncos coach. And Manly, just for a stat for your Skeet, all five of their wins this season have been against the bottom five teams after round nine. And the past eight games at this venue have all been decided by double-digit margins, five of them by 24 points or more. Is it going to be the Broncos, you think?
Oh, look, they're a lot better defensively, as Kevvy said. The game that I'm really looking forward to in Magic Round, the two premiership favourites, Melbourne Storm versus the defending champions, the Penrith Panthers. That's on Saturday night. So really good for rugby league, and can't wait in a month or two from now we're going to see a State of Origin Rugby League back in WA, huge crowd, and may they continue to bring that fantastic spectacle back to the West.
Big doubleheader starting tomorrow night. Now, thanks to Repco, from navigating open roads to wrangling uncharted tracks for 100 years, Repco's been driven by passion. We will clear a commitment, come back and get inside our West Coast fever next. Stacey Francis Bayman will join us. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day, and for Train West, training your future. It is fantastic to have Stacey Francis Bayman on our program from our West Coast fever, fresh on the back of being picked in the English Roses squad ahead of the Commonwealth Games. Stace, welcome to the show. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
How nice is it to be included at least in the squad ahead of the Commonwealth Games?
Yes, it is always a privilege to be surrounded by so many other fantastic athletes. And yeah, the goal, ultimate goal this year is to be able to go to another Commonwealth Games. And so to make the squad is an incredibly important step to be able to do that.
So Stacey, given the fact that you're heading across for what's going to be an exciting time, middle of the year and getting closer by the day, but also a couple of other fever players who are going to be representing Australia. So I'm sure there's been a bit of banter on that front.
Yeah, we haven't actually spoken about it that much. There's definitely lots of congratulations when people make their respective country squads or have individual achievements. But I'm certain that as soon as the season finishes and we're all putting on different coloured dresses, that there's going to be no love lost when we step out on court, potentially against each other.
Yeah, and what about you heading back to the UK? A sense of romance or excitement, being sentimental in any way, or is it just business?
No, I think it means a lot. Like I really, really want to be selected to be able to go to another Commonwealth Games. I wasn't a member of the squad that won gold in the Gold Coast, and Birmingham is my hometown. So it's where I was born, where I grew up. And so there's a real, there's a huge amount of emotion and sentimentality actually around this Commonwealth Games. So lots to play for.
And Stace, it's a long time ago since Delhi in 2010, right? And it's great to still be, I'm sure, at the top of your game, still playing a very high level of netball.
Yes, I have been around the netball scene for quite a while now, but I certainly wouldn't have been playing if I didn't feel like I was still able to compete at the highest level and also still learning something. I think every season that I've been out here in SSN has been completely different. I've been challenged in a different way, whether it's physically or mentally. And I think having, I played Delhi, I played Glasgow, where we came away empty-handed, and then to have also not been involved with the team that won gold 4 years ago, an awful lot of ambition and certainly still a lot more left in this old girl.
Oh, that led me into my next question. You said this, a lot of energy left in this old girl. I'm not going to reveal your age, of course, here, Stace, but are you talking 2 or 3 years you think you can still go around at the top level?
Well, I guess it really depends on how hard each game is as to how much energy is depleted from that store. But, I don't know. To be honest, this year is the first year that I've really set some kind of short and medium-term goals and been quite vocal and outspoken about trying to hit those, the first being a premiership with West Coast Fever and then the second being a gold medal with England. I think being a more mature athlete, you certainly take all of the opportunities that are right in front of you and try not to think too far ahead.
Now, having a look at a couple of your teammates this week, Janelle Fowler and goal attack Sasha Glasgow have both been recognised for their contributions in Sunday's win over Collingwood. Selection in the Round 8 Team of the Week. Not bad.
No, definitely not bad. I don't think there's been a team of the week that hasn't featured Janelle in it. And I think she certainly takes all of the accolades and her performances in her stride, but she is absolutely incredible at what she does. And I think continues to grow and hasn't even hit her capacity. And similarly, Sasha Glasgow is on just a meteoric rise this season, and I think has found a fantastic home at West Coast Fever. And her confidence is sky high, which I think you can see when she's out there performing.
Now, Stacey, the Pride match this Saturday is against Lightning at 3 p.m. our time at USC Stadium. And you are the Pride ambassador for Fever. What does that mean to you?
To be honest, I think last year was such a different experience. I was kind of making a bit of an individual statement in terms of the colours that I wore in my hair and the style that I wore in my hair to celebrate Pride Month. And so I think to have just travelled one season and for there to be a game and a partnership between West Coast Fever and Sunshine Coast Lightning this season, to have a whole game dedicated towards pride and celebrating the diversity and the inclusion that netball, a place that netball should be for everybody, is incredibly exciting. And it's a cause that's very close to my heart and I'm really passionate about. And I think to be able to bring my authentic self to my work environment every single day makes me a healthier, happier human and netballer.
And Stacey, off the back of that, given you've been in netball for quite some time, how much has the game or society changed in that space where inclusiveness, diversity is now accepted, embraced, instead of the alternative?
I think to netball's credit, and certainly throughout my whole experiences, both from grassroots and in England and in Australia, I've always found netball to be an incredibly diverse and inclusive space. I think the game is moving forward in leaps and bounds, especially in terms of like gender inclusion, the men's game, and is being adopted by governing bodies as well as by SSN teams in terms of having formalised partnerships with some of the guys as train-ons. But netball really is a safe and inclusive space for lots of people. And I think it's important that we get behind and publicly champion causes like Pride so that everybody sees that it's not just something that we assume and we rest on our laurels. It's a place for learning, in education, and also continuing to push and strive to move the sport forward.
Stace, thank you very much for joining us and good luck against the Lightning on Saturday. Take care.
Oh, thank you so much.
Good on you. Stacey Francis-Bayman there, 3 p.m. Western Standard Time. The match gets underway, West Coast Fever against the Lightning. Train West, Perth's leading registered training organisation, specialising in training and safety services. Visit trainwest.com.au. Skate, let's get into On This Day for Baron O'Day, because the little things are everything.
Now, of course, we know, Cal, that in WA, it was Shelley Taylor-Smith who was her own superfish. But on this day in 1997, Susie Maroney became the first person to swim from Cuba to Florida. That's a massive achievement. Long-distance swimming and some of the objects and some of the smells and sights she would have encountered between Cuba and Florida doesn't begin thinking about. But on this day, thanks to Barra and O'Day, don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything.
Beautiful, mate. Now, what we'll do next is touch base with David Short from Tab Touch and get into our Chase for Charity. Stay with us.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. And it is time now to catch up with Tab Touch's David Short. Welcome, Shorty. How you going, mate?
Yeah, really well. Thanks, Carl. Skeet, great to be with you guys.
Now, let's crank up with some footy, and I'd love to know what the Brownlow market is looking like, given Andrew Brayshaw's performance on the weekend. Clayton Oliver also was a very, very honest performer, as was Paddy Cripps. But what are the head-to-head markets looking like first?
Yeah, I can just briefly let you know, Cripps heads up Brownlow medal betting there, Rakala at 275, Brayshaw 550, Neil 550, Petrarca at 8, and Oliver at $10. So that's the AFL Brownlow medal market as it sits right now. From this week's perspective, got some really interesting games to get involved with. Kicking off Friday night football, Interesting tussle here to see how it does all pan out. Collingwood 225, Western Bulldogs 165. There has been money for the Pies as the outsider here. On Saturday, it's Hawthorn 320, Richmond 135. North Melbourne, 625 outsiders for their clash with Port Adelaide, 112. St Kilda take on Geelong, one of the trickier games of the weekend. 210 the Saints with the Cats at 174. Sydney $1.30 play host to Essendon at 350. And the Saturday night game there, Adelaide playing host to Brisbane, 120. The Lions, Crows at 450, that line at 28.5. On Sunday, we see the Dockers on the road to take on Gold Coast. $1.52 Frio, the Suns at 255, line 10.5. GWS up against Carlton, 174 here, the Giants, 210 the Blues. And the final game, it is very lopsided. Melbourne $1.01, West Coast $15. That line is another big one, sits at 59.5 points.
Shorty, heading into the NBA, the semi-finals, playoff time getting serious.
Yeah, indeed. Two games tomorrow morning. Skeet, Miami 214, take on Philly 174. And the 9:30 tip-off sees Phoenix 178 up against Dallas 208. Saturday morning, it's Boston 202 on the road to take on Milwaukee $1.83. And Memphis are also on the road. They're $3.90 outsiders taking on Golden State $1.27.
Huge weekend of racing. Let's go up to Brisbane. It's the Doomben 10,000, but at Eagle Farm.
Yeah, they've had to shift where the Doomben 10,000 is going to be held this week, of course, with the treacherous conditions up there with all the rain. But Eagle Farm does drain really well. We head in with a warm favourite too, Marzu, a horse that's been really flying this preparation, won four on the bounce for Peter and Paul Snowden. It's a $2.90 favourite. It's been pretty popular as well at that quote. Kementari, $8.50 into $7.50. Count to Rupee, $14 into $9. On Trivier 10 and Firm and Isotope, $9 out to $10, but a ripper edition of the Doomben 10,000.
Now, let's have a look locally. The Roma Cup, a Group 3 race, race number 8 on the card as we head back to Belmont.
Indeed, as should be another Bottler Elite Street coming off success in the Northern Stakes. Of course, the Winterbottom Stakes winner, second up for the preparation where it's won 3 of 4, and it's the $2.50 favourite. Red Cam Man on the second line at 6, Amacinus at 9, Notorious 111, Valor Road's there at 13, but many punters will be teaming up with Elite Street to take out the Group 3 Roma Cup there at Belmont on Saturday.
The listed racing continues at Flemington. Race 7, the Andrew Ramsden.
Indeed, for the stayers, over the 2,800 metres, Splendiferous is our favourite at $3.50, in from $3.90. Point Nepean, $3.70 to $4. Through Irish Eyes has been $5 to $6. Luntzy's $5.50 to $6.50. And a bit of money around for Warning, $10 into $9.
Brilliant, Shorty. Thank you very much for your time tonight, mate. And we'll have a chat to you next week.
Pleasure, guys. Get in touch with Tab Touch. If you are going to have a punt, though, make sure you do it responsibly.
Good on you, David Short there. And yes, those with the touch, choose Tab Touch. Better your bet and download the Tab Touch app today. Gamble responsibly, as Shorty said, and call Gambler's Help on 1-800-858-858. Let's get into our Chase for Charity brought to you by Greyhounds WA. And it's nice to have Dennis O'Brien on your radio, racing and sponsorship manager at Greyhounds WA. Dennis, welcome. How are you going, mate?
Evening, Carl and Mark. Very well.
Now, yeah, well, I just want to say let's wish JB a speedy recovery. James Broadhurst has contracted COVID, everyone, so he's in H&S protocols this week. I shouldn't be laughing, Dennis, but it is WA Derby week. What's the field look like?
Yeah, we've got three heats on Saturday night and some really nice young male greyhounds going around there. West on Finn's a pretty smart type. Throttle's another greyhound I really like. He's a big bustling sort of type that's got plenty of pace. And another greyhound by the name of Stone Cold Augie. So some pretty smart ones. So three heats of that. And the following week we'll have the Group 2 final.
Hey, exciting stuff. What about Mandra on Friday night, Dennis? Anything catch your eye?
Yeah, look, there's a greyhound down there. I think James would have surely must have mentioned him in the last 12 months. A greyhound by the name of Bones McCoy. Now, look, whenever Bones McCoy gets box one, I get all excited because he's got a really nice record from the red rug. He's had 11 starts for 7 wins and 2 thirds. So, look, he's trained up at Wundowie, which you wouldn't think there's a lot of greyhounds coming out of Wundowie, but Glenn Curry has this greyhound perfectly presented, and he goes down to Mandra and does his stuff over the 405 down there. Very speedy greyhound. So, look, it's too hard to go past him from box one. So, race 7, number 1, Bones McCoy, I think on Friday night will be winning.
Well, the other dog that's been on fire that's going to be running down there on Friday night is Panama Pepper. It's just got a picket fence out of the Steve Withers kennel. It's on fire and been running some very, very slick time as well. So that's one we'll keep an eye on. Now, what about Saturday night? What's your best bet Saturday night at Cannington?
Yeah, look, a really young greyhound by the name of Aerodynamic Girl. She's in the first race, and look, she's only had eight career starts. She's had two wins, and both of those wins have come from inside draws, box one or two. So she's obviously a greyhound that, you know, just likes to be near the rail, so that's really important in a young greyhound. So, look, she's got early pace, so I'm just thinking she three starts back, she ran 30 and 18, which would be winning this race. So with the advantage of box one, I think they won't be able to catch this greyhound on Saturday night. So race one, number one, Aerodynamic Girl, and probably be about $3 mark too. So a bit of value there.
Now, Dennis, for those that maybe are considering going to the greyhounds or maybe have tuned into Six Power for the very first time and heard us here on this segment for Greyhounds WA, restaurants and bars are open. My understanding is that the COVID protocols or rules that exist, it's now open slather. Is that right? Are we allowed to get in there? Is there anything you need to do?
No, you just need to bring some money to buy a drink and have a punt and you'll have a good night. We had a really nice crowd here on Wednesday night. So it's good to see the people back. It's actually a lot more exciting, bit of atmosphere with a few people on course now. So, no, it's really building up nicely, especially Saturday nights now, getting through the winter months. It's nice and warm inside and it can attack the buffet. As you well know.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for your time tonight, Dennis. Take care.
And good luck with those.
Dennis O'Brien there from Greyhounds WA. Skeet, let's get into our chase for charity. Greyhounds WA racing against motor neurone disease. Which way are you going to go this week?
Yeah, no, you know what? I always follow the experts. I know you think that's perhaps a bit of a cop-out, but I'm going to stick with Dennis, who very kindly gave us the tip of Aerodynamic Girl. Race one, number one, Cannington on Saturday over... what is it, the 520 metres. So at $3 or thereabouts, I'm happy to have an each-way play on that.
Yeah, well, I don't mind JB keeps giving you tips. The only thing is that last week's tip he gave you played $1 a place. So you got your money back, which is fantastic. But he keeps on forgetting to put my winning bets on, which my actual dog won again at $2.70 and $2.20 the place last week. So I'm not exactly sure how much money's jumped into the pot for racing against motor neurone disease, but I'm going to have a crack at race nine, number one, on Friday night, a dog by the name of Starlight Gina. Each way, $25 each way on Starlight Gina, race nine, number one, and let's hope the money goes on and let's hope we get the chocolates. We will clear a commitment on the other side, come back, and we'll wrap up sport with a day's update next.